All right, we'll be in Job tonight, Job chapter 42, way at the end of Job. And Job 42, the prayer letter we read tonight is the family that the Reeds will be seeing when they're down there in Peru and the Raiders. So we'll keep you up on the Reeds as they go along, and we usually, him and I, email back and forth a little bit. And so Job 42, tonight's message title is When Your Captivity Is Turned. When your captivity is turned. Job 42. I'm going to start off with three verses, but we'll focus on most of the chapter throughout the night here. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the great honor of preaching. Thank you for giving me something to do that's way above what I deserve. And it's amazing where you brought me, Lord. Your grace and your power is so incredible, Father. And I thank you for all you've done, and I thank you for the chance to preach your word tonight. And thank you for the people who are here. And now, Lord, we get to share the word with some pretty mature believers who are hungry. They wouldn't be here at night, and we just pray that great things would happen. We pray that you'd speak to us, and Lord, many of our messages get listened to many times from many places, sometimes around the world, Father, and we pray that tonight, this as many others, you'd speak through it, and you would help lives to be greatly impacted and thinking to be straightened out, and Christians to get drawn to you through the word of God. Through your Spirit's power, we need you. We ask for your help. We ask for your blessing. We ask for the hand of God to be good upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Job is an amazing man. If we go back to the start of the book of Job, just a quick review to get up to there. Job was an amazing man. God said he was amazing. And that's not a lot of people God can say this guy is perfect and upright. And that's what the Lord says about Job. In Job chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He would give sacrifices in case his kids forgot. He was a man with a guiltless conscience, and certainly a sinner, like all men are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God calls him perfect and upright, complete and godly. In verse 8 it says, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, that one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And God is saying, hey, this is a great, great guy who's doing the right thing. Well, if you know the story, Satan says, well, he's doing it because you bless him. And so take away what he has, and he'll curse you to your face. And so Satan says, okay. Or so God says to Satan, go ahead and take away what he has, and you can do all those things. Just don't hurt his health. Just don't kill it, take away his life. You can take what he has, everything around him, but himself, you can't touch him. And isn't it good that God tells the devil what he can and can't do? Amen. And so Satan went away. And in one day, Job lost all of his crops, all of his animals, all of his children, 10 children, all those things in one day. And he said, hey, naked came I out of the womb, naked I'll go back again. And the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the devil comes back and says, and God says, hey, remember Job? Looks like I was right about that. And Job says, well, it's his flesh. If you hurt his body, if you let his body be destroyed, nobody can take that, and he will curse you to your face. And God says, okay, you can do that. You can't kill him, though. And so the devil goes away and destroys Job's health. His body gets boils and blisters from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his health is destroyed. And he lost everything at first. And we see the first time, chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his, chapter 1, verse 20, and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down and on the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pretty good. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And the times I've griped and complained. I just hope when I get to heaven, I'll always avoid Job. Job's coming this way. I'm just going to go this way. Say, I don't want to be walked by that guy and be compared with the things he got down and worshipped after having happened. And but he did real well at this thing. And then the second time, he lost basically his wife. She was very harsh on him, and then he lost his health. And verse 7, it says, "And Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd," a little, could be a piece of metal, or could be a broken piece of clay, maybe of hard clay, "to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then he said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh, What shall receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job sin not with his lips." Now, both times Job had a fantastic reaction. Both times Job was wrong. He said, the Lord's done this. Lord gives, Lord takes away. It wasn't the Lord who took away his family and kids and all that stuff. Lord allowed it, but Satan did it. Job also says to receive good at the hand of God and not evil. God did not do anything evil to Job. He allowed it because he's God and he can do what he wants. And that's important because you read the whole book of Job. Job has three and then a fourth friend. They come along to give Job comfort, and they're terrible at it. And they all guess at what's happening. And every single one of them has no idea what's going on. They're all wrong. But they say very spiritual things. They're men who I would say this, these are men who reverence God. They say, hey, don't do anything against God. God is great and he can do whatever he wants, and God is punishing you for your sin. And how can you cannot get away with anything with God, because he's mighty and all powerful, and God is good, and God does the right things, and God would not do anything bad to you if you were good. And all these people have reverence for God. They just didn't know what was happening, nor did Job. Nobody knew. It's amazing how many people think they know why something happens. Read the book of Job. Every human, though they're all great and Job was an amazing man, none of them knew what was happening. They all were guessing. And that's human arrogance right there. You don't know Satan. Satan brought up Job's name, and they were showing that Job really does serve God for a good reason and all those things. They didn't know all that stuff. And so he continued to do that. He got so miserable at this point, and he was so distraught. His friends come, and they just sit there with him for 7 days. And eventually, Job, sitting in the ash pile, scraping his skin for relief, he begins to wish he was never born. And chapter 3, verse 1, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, chapter 3, verse 3, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived." And so he's depressed, wishing he wasn't alive. Verse 6, "As for that night that I was born, let darkness seize it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months." And you can see verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" And you can't blame him for feeling that way. His family just died. His wife is saying, curse God and die. His health is gone. His crops are gone. His wealth is gone. Everything is destroyed. And he's very, very, very depressed. And that's understandable. And it's not sinful to be depressed. People think that because of the secular mindset. That if you're depressed, you're not right with God. If you're sinning, if you're depressed. Except for the Bible says Jesus said, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." And Jesus never sinned. Okay, it's part of the spectrum of human emotions, and so you visit depression, and that's we're in a messed up world. His friends begin to try to comfort him and tell him what's going on, but Job says, "I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this happened," and his friends get very upset about that, and they say, "What do you mean? Now, Job, all this could not have happened for no reason. If you hadn't done anything," because Job said, "I don't know why this happened. I'm brokenhearted. I'm sad. I don't know why that God allowed this to happen or why God did this to me. What did I do to God?" And they said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Job!" And they began to give him their counsel and advice. These friends, and they said it must be because of his sin. Chapter 4, verse 7, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, this is Eliphaz, one of his friends, or Eliphaz, he says, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? He says, nothing's bad ever happened to somebody when they're doing the right thing. Don't feel like there's nothing to it. There's something here. There's a reason why it's happening. You obviously did wrong here somewhere. Chapter 5, and it continues on. His friends come at him and saying, this is why this has happened. Chapter 2, for wrath killed the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I curse his habitation. His children are far from safety. Well, what do you think that's saying? Job, the reason your kids died is because of your foolishness. His children are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate. His children were crushed to death, by the way. The building collapsed on him. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest is the hungry eateth up? And it even come out thorns. He lost his crops. The robber swalloweth up all his substance. Robbers came and stole all his camels and all his livestock. This guy's saying, Job, this is what happens to wicked people. And by the way, it wasn't because of his wickedness, was it? And so they're blaming and saying this is why all this happened. And by the way, I find out that if God's doing it to you for chastisement, he's a good father. He usually tells you why he's doing it, if it's because of your sin. He says, you were doing this, this is why it's happening. It comes to your mind. Boom. So often, instantly, something bad happens, and instantly you think of, you've been doing this, haven't I? God tells you, like any good parent would. But that's not the subject. The first one says, because of your sin, obviously. Second one said, God would work for you if you were right. Chapter 8 and verse 5. God would obviously work for you if you were doing right. Verse 5. Chapter 8, this is Bildad, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, that means early, and make supplication to the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. If you would get right with God, he would start blessing you now, Job, but you got to get right, and he'd work for you quickly. The next one said, Job, what you got right now is better than what you deserve. Boy, by the way, what's bad? And chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, and they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. He says, you're getting it. You're not getting punished as much as you should, Job. You better be thankful God's nice, or you'd be getting a lot worse than this. Job is very confused. And Job is confused because in his mind, God is doing this to him. And God, why are you doing this to me? And he's searching and he's saying, what did I do? I do not know what I could have done wrong. I have been kind. I've been working hard. I've sacrificed. I've done everything for God. Why are you doing this to me, God? And he asked the question. And throughout, and you're gonna, if you continue from Job chapter 3 to Job 40, you're just going to see Job saying, I don't know why. Why is this happening? I want to talk to God about this. I wish God would tell me what I'm doing, if I'm doing something. And his friend said, stop saying that, Job. You know you're doing something wrong. And the whole book is a big confusion of humans trying to figure out God and the unseen world. And there they go. And Job begins to ask God, what did I do? Chapter 6 and verse 4, as Job continues to ask God, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. He's very confused. Why is God doing this? Chapter 10 and verse 2. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest or fightest with me. It is good. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? He says, God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me? Is it good you should be doing this to me? But in all this, and Job's going to say, I do not understand. I wish I could ask God. God, why are you doing this to me? Can you not see how bad I'm hurting? Can you just lighten it up and give me a break or tell me what I'm doing? I do not see what you're doing. But at the same time, Job continues to trust God. There's nothing wrong with a question, but there's charging God foolishly also. Okay? And Job did not do that, but he did have questions. And he did want to talk to God. And he said, why is God doing this for me? Because he did not understand. Chapter 13, we'll see his trust continuing on. Verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. He says, God can do whatever he wants. I still trust him. Job 23. And again, watch how he does not understand. He doesn't know, but he still trusts God. He has questions, but he trusts the Lord. Job 23, verse 8, behold, I go forward, and he is not there, or backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself in the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and have not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than the necessary food. And of course, his friends say, how dare you say that? Obviously, you're doing something wrong, Job, or you would not be in this situation. He still trusts. Job finally says in chapter 16, as his friends continue to attack him, it's a very funny verse to me, but I have a certain sense of humor. And at verse 2, it says, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. He says, you're terrible comforters. Thanks a lot. I'm sitting here, everybody died, everything happened, I'm sick, I'm terrible, I'm miserable, and you're sitting here telling me it's because of my sin. Miserable comforters you are. Man, you know, there's some guy somewhere on the other side of the hill over there that needs you really bad to comfort him. And so he says, you're terrible comforters. But look at chapter verses 4 and 5. See, Job wants comfort. He wants somebody to say, Job, I'm sorry. I love you. I know you're hurting. I don't know why this happened. But you know what? I was there for you before. I'm here for you now. And just love him. Verse 4, it says, I would speak as ye do. I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth. See what he wants? And the mood of my lips should assuage your grief, relieve your grief. See, Job wanted them to say, I love you. I'm sorry, Job. I know it hurts. I'm your friend. But he couldn't get that. And he was very brokenhearted about that. Job says, if only I knew, I would be okay with it. If I could just know why God's doing this, I'd be fine. I do not know. Let's go to, well, let's say, 31. Job chapter 31. Verse 4. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Verse 13. If I did despise the cause of the manservant, a maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up, when he visits, when I answer? And he's saying, you know what? I would not do people wrong. I don't do the wrong thing here. Verse 19, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing or any poor with covering, if his loins have not blessed me, if he were not warmed to the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and mine arm be broken to the bone. He says, you know what? If I've done the wrong things, just go ahead and put, I'll take it because I haven't. Let the bad things happen. I haven't done these things. If I've done these wrong things, let it be obvious. Verse 24, if I have made gold my hope or confidence, or have said unto fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth is great, because my hand hath gotten much. And he says, if I've done all these things, verse 29, if I rejoice in destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. He says, if I've done these things, I'm okay, but I haven't. And he goes on and on about, and even his friends say, Job, you've always done so many good things, but something must have changed. Watch that, so I can find the verse. The great respect they say for him. Look at chapter 4. Eliphaz is going to say it's because of his sin. Look at verse 3. in chapter 4. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come unto thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. He even has a good reputation when they're saying it's because of his sin. He says, you've done a lot of good things, we know. But all you've done, you've done something wrong. And so it's going back and forth. Job says, Lord, just show me why. Chapter 35. Job just says, just show me why, God, and we can, and I can know. I'm sorry, chapter 31. 31. And verse 35. Oh, that thou wouldest hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. And he said, I just want to know why. And that's us. We're like that. And then God just comes in. One more friend comes in, a fourth young man, and he's not as bad as the rest, but he's along the same lines. And finally, God just comes there and says, stop. Stop, everybody. You're all wrong. Stop. And so God goes to Job first. Now, who's the most innocent of these five people? Job. But God goes to Job and rebukes Job for about four chapters. Okay? And he goes to Job. And God turns, and look at chapter 42. Let's not get quite to chapter 42. God goes to them. Chapter 38. God begins to say to Job, Job, where were you when I created the universe? Where were you when I made the mountains? Hey, tell me how the winds came forth. Tell me how all these things happened. Hey, can you control the great animals and the dinosaurs that it talks about here? And can you, what are you, Job? What do you really know? How powerful are you? How great are you? Chapter 38, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is he that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. He's talking to Job. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are all the foundations thereof fastened, and who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, you don't even know what the morning stars are, by the way, Job, but when they sang together, these angels and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who hath shut up the sea with the doors that it break, when it break forth as if it issued out of the womb? When I make the clod for a garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it. He says, Job, you don't know this stuff. You have no idea about so many things. What do you quit acting like you have to know everything. Quit acting like you're God who has to have all knowledge. And he goes on and he says, where were you when I did this? You are small. You don't know how a goat can skip across a mountain. You don't know how a great fish can work. You don't know how a horse is so powerful. You don't know much at all, really. Chapter after chapter, God says to Job. Job, of course, is broken very quickly. Chapter 38. Watch how quickly Job says, what was I thinking? And how quickly he goes down. 38, he goes through all of this. I'm sorry, chapter 40 and verse 3. Then Job answered and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I'll proceed no further. I've said too much. I'm broken, God. You're right. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Job says, God, I'm sorry. I've been yakking like I knew something. I've been talking like I understood these things. You are too high. You are too great. Your knowledge is too majestic. You are God. I have no idea why all this happened. And Lord, I will put my hand upon my mouth and let you be God. Job basically does the right thing and he breaks. He says, you're God. You can do whatever you want. Who am I to question you with my little bit of knowledge? And Job does that. And by the way, a child who has a strong will, when they, not their spirit, but their will, you break their will, and then they're ready to be blessed. And they're ready, then they're obedient. When God tries to get all of us to a point, we finally just say, okay, God, you're God. I'm sorry. You can do whatever you want. You're the Lord. I give you my life. When you finally break and just throw up your hands and say, I'm man, you're God. Who am I? What am I? You're in awe of God. You understand. You let him be on the throne and you bow down to him. Very, very, very difficult for Americans to do. Proud, arrogant. But Job did. This great man finally said, all right, God, I'm sorry. And he lets God be God. And he does that. Remember that, be in awe of God. Be in awe of God. Now, God turns to Job's friends now at this point. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye hath seen thee. Wherefore I have heard myself and repent in dust and ashes. He breaks. And it was so that after Job had spoken these after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temite, my wrath is kindled against thee, and speakest against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, as my servant Job hath. Now God's going to get real angry at these other guys. Now listen, you know what us foolish people would have done? Job was telling the truth. I don't know why this is happening. I have not done wrong. He was right. God acknowledged Job was right about that. And that Job would not charge God foolishly. You know what we'd have done? Why are you yelling at me? Look at that. That's what we'd have done. That's exactly what we would have done. You know why? Because we are not very good at focusing on ourselves. Well, I'm not as bad as that. Well, they did that though. Job said, God, I'm so sorry. I abhor myself. I, how can I be so foolish to think I'm going to understand it? God said, all right, I'm done with you. Good, you're good now. You guys. And they're going, I think Job's awesome. And they're pretty scared. Why? Because Job took care of Job instead of looking for an injustice and saying, well, I'm not as bad. Well, they did. It's okay, I'm angry at them because they, like we would have. I'm glad for Job's sake that Job just said, God, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Doesn't matter if somebody else forever was sitting there criticizing you and tearing you to shreds in the worst day of your life. He's not worried about them. He's worried about the speck in his own eye. How we doing? Amen? Now God turns to the friends. Good thing Job focused on himself, not then. I have a few thoughts here I want to get to, and we'll try to go quickly with these. Number one, remember the Lord really does want us to be perfected. God really wants to be perfected. Job was already a perfect and upright man, but he had to grow. And he grows. Chapter 42, he says, now I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. For I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee. He got to know God better. He gained an immense amount of knowledge. See, there is one thing left for Job to do. And that was, he was so close and so great and so amazing. And it's not a criticism. I guarantee you, none of us would have done as good as Job did. How many of you would have looked for a sharp weapon for your friends? And how many of you would have been mad a long time ago? How many of us would have said why and been angry and mad at God because our family died and everything? But Job did great. But he had to learn one more lesson. That's, you don't know anything, Job. I'm God. And you have to, God's trying to perfect us, get us all the way. Now he knows God in a new and real way. I've got so many verses on perfection. I'm not going to read them all. Matthew 6 and verse 48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is imperfect. Hebrews chapter 6, let us move on to perfection. 2 Corinthians 7, 1, let me read just a couple of these to you. Because God is pushing us toward perfection. And I'm not going to read all the verses I have. It's very common in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 7, 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In Ephesians 4, 12, he gives gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints. A couple of verses out of Colossians. He wants us to get all the way there, to keep growing. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Don't get sidetracked. Can you, we reach sinless perfection? I want to say this. God is trying to perfect us and finish us to be all the way there. And get us even greater. How does he do that? Oftentimes, it's not the easy way. If we're motivated enough, we could probably get there with his strength by trying and learning and praying, but many times he needs to do the harder way. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Oftentimes, you don't get complete in the Christian life until you finally see yourself as you are and see God as he is. That's what Job had to get to. Isaiah had it. Jeremiah had it. Moses had it. You get to see yourself where you are, and you get to see God where he is. I understand it's very difficult for us to understand this. We think God just a little step above us. We don't understand he measured the universe in a span in his hand. We don't understand how mighty and powerful and worthy he is because he created all things for his pleasure. But we just have to really see ourselves as we are. Next, number two, your worst problem... Your worst problem people need your prayers. Let's go back to Job and there in our in chapter 42. The people who are the hardest on you, the people who bother you the most, the people who know how to push your buttons, the people who are your enemies who are against you, those are the people God has placed in your life for your prayers to be their deliverance. Your prayers have a special place because it's a great sacrifice for you to pray for them, for you to have hope in them. Look what God says in chapter 42, verse 7. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, my wrath is kindled against you and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right as my servant Job has. Therefore, take unto you now seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job will pray for you, for him will I accept. There's vindication. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Who popped in your mind when I said those people need your prayers? Because probably what most of the time we begin to despise those people and think there's no hope for them. And we kind of want God to show them how wicked they are and vindicate us and do all these things and show that they're wicked and I want to see them do bad. And God says, pray for them, Job. And you guys will be okay if Job prays for you, but it's up to Job's prayers. Number three, what you want most often comes once you make it without it. What you want most what you long for, what you think would settle everything, what you're consumed with getting, many times will not come until you're okay and content without it. Verse 11, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been his acquaintances before and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. Isn't that what Job wanted the whole time? Now God has vindicated Job, said Job was right, you were wrong. But now, where were these people before? His friends came, his friends, they came and they sat there for 7 days and nobody spoke a word. And now they've been criticizing him, attacking him, but all of a sudden now, when he doesn't have to have it, he's already been content with just God being right and just settled into saying, okay, God, you know what you're doing. I accept where I am. I accept what you gave me. I don't deserve anything better, Lord, and you are right and good, and I'm just a sinful human who knows nothing. I break. God says, all right. You guys are wrong. Job is right. Job says, I thought so. And here comes family and friends saying, Job, I'm so sorry. I love you. Oh, let me help you. And he says, man, I wish you guys had come a week ago. He didn't have to have them now. But because he was content in God without them, he got them. And he was okay. The Lord did this to me. And it's such a strange thing. At the ministry here, I have so much vision and passion to do great things for God, and always have, and wanted to see mighty things, and really saw visions of what I believe, and those visions I still believe God gave them to me, of mighty things, God doing things. And boy, we had tough experiences starting this church and going through brutal things to get this church started. And over time, I wrestled with God and battled with God and wrestled and prayed and begged God and did all kinds of things, trying to get God to do things and worked hard and did all the things I should have to do. Somewhere along the way, I just kind of broke and said, God, it's your ministry. You know what? Everything I can do, it's up to you now. If nobody comes, nobody comes. If we have 1,000 people, if we have 5 people, whatever you want. And people started showing up. You know why? Because I need to be just willing to serve God and let it rip like I'm preaching 10,000 people if there's 10. I need to be content with no crowds. It's not crowds I'm looking for. It's changed lives and souls. Understand all that. However, I want to say this. It's God's church. He can do whatever he wants. Your life is God's life. He can do whatever he wants. And when you break and say, Lord, I don't want it this way. I want this way. I wanted this to work out like this. And God, you got to do this. And I'm so frustrated. And you're angry. And you're striving and just in your spirit troubled, and one day you finally say, okay, God, my life is yours. Wherever you want to take me, whatever trials, whatever suffering, however it works out, Lord, I give up. My life's yours. God's all right. Now you're not going to cling to that thing too much. Now you just want me. And now I can bless you and trust you with those things that would have been idols or whatever the deal was. See, what you most often want comes when you're willing and able to make it without it. These people could have come a lot earlier, but they didn't. What we really need is to be content with the Lord and knowing him. Everything outside of hell is a bonus for us. Number four, last thing I want to say, how the captivity is turned may surprise you. Verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yokes of oxen, and 10,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he names the kids. And at verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years after this, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. And Job died, being old and full of days. It's the captivity Job was in. Can I tell you, if you know what this is talking about, when it turns, you go, your soul and your spirit is just leaning over with heaviness and weight and the captivity you're under, the oppression you're under, and all of a sudden, oh, that captivity turned when Job prayed for his friends. That would have been hard to pray for those guys. And accept their sacrifices. And boy, what would you have prayed for them? Yeah, Lord, I pray you bless them as much as you blessed me in the last year. And what are you going to pray for them? I mean, and you come and Job prayed for him. And boy, this is fresh. After Job went through them attacking him, you wicked sinner! No wonder God's doing this, man. And Job prayed for them, and his captivity lifted when he did that. Let me tell you, when you're in the captivity of the devil and underneath the attack, and it's all very confusing of what God allows and the devil doing it and God using the devil. And listen, it's over your pay grade. Okay, you just trust the Lord and do right no matter what happens. Okay, but however, I want to say this: Job got his release from his captivity, and everything was blessed, and it was better than before. When that happens, it's a wonderful thing. Look at Psalm 126. Somebody else who's in captivity. Psalm 126. And verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It's like a dream come true. When the captivity is turned, it's like a dream. And I want to say this. You will not always be in the heavy oppression. You will not always be in the darkness. If you even know what I'm talking about. You, if you stay faithful to God, your captivity gets turned. And it's so much better than just having been blessed the whole time, because it's like a dream come true, because you have such joy, because you know how good it is, and you know how dark it can be. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them at dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. God validates you. And he shows his power and gets glory. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. When you're in captivity. Now, I don't know what's going to turn your captivity. We don't always know that. You might know that. Me, it was just being willing to let God do whatever he wants. And to this day, honestly, whatever happens, happens. It's God's ministry in that area of my life. And I've learned, just don't worry about who's coming and who criticizes and who's doing good and who's, listen, just love people, serve people, try to win the world to Christ, do the Great Commission, and just come Sunday and just love people and preach the word. It's his church. I don't know what you have to just say, okay, God. I don't know what step you have to do, and that one thing you keep on saying, I will not do this. And you're still in captivity to something. And what that step is, you might know. You have to say, okay, fine. Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay, I will do this to this person. And then all of a sudden, poof, captivity breaks. I don't know what that step is, but it sure is great when it happens. When you can just say, Lord, I thank you for this thing happening to me. When that's what you do not want to do. When you say, Lord, I accept this lot in life, when it's something that makes you madly upset, and you say, I'm not going to get mad about it anymore. I'm going to trust. You know what, Lord? I thank you. And captivity is broken. Remember, the Lord does want us to be perfected. Your worst problem people need your prayers. What you want most often comes once you make it without it. And how the captivity is turned may surprise you. When your captivity is turned, it's a great thing, though. Let's bow for prayer. Oh, Father, we see the great truths out of the book of Job. What a great book. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the great truths here. Lord, there's some great things in this last chapter. Lord, it's beautiful. As I just would love to see that scene where Job's sitting there still scarred up and everything. The bad friends rebuked and friends coming to comfort him. You validating him and him resting in his spirit. Lord, we thank you that you can do whatever needs done. We thank you that we can have our captivity turned. But Lord, may you have spoken to us personally through this message about these things. And may we realize that you know what you're doing. May, if we need to break, break. May we remember you're perfecting us and there's something to finish in us that might take suffering. That some people need our prayers. Lord, help us to do the right thing. And may we be responsive to your Spirit tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We won't even have it.